Hey, my friends, it's Tom. I hope you guys are well. It's another good day the Lord has made for us, and we will rejoice and be glad in it as we await this pre-tribulation rapture, which I believe could happen at any time. I'm telling you, the next few months, if we're not raptured, this world, we are going to see some crazy things going on. Mark my words, screenshot this, because we are in Israel is going through really crazy times right now as they have another Hamas deal on the table of hostage releases and stuff, and it's all ridiculous, but we'll get into that. First, I want to go to scripture because that's the most important thing I do here. I'm going to our trusty little red book, God's Promises for Your Every Need. You can get it anywhere books are sold, so grab that. Maybe grab a snack. I don't know. Have a popcorn ball. All right, simple. All right, let's look at scriptures about Jesus being our Savior. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Would you want to walk this world right now without the indwelling Holy Spirit? Let me know, because my answer is no. No, I would not. You know, the greatest gift ever given, that indwelling Holy Spirit, when we put our trust and faith in the blood and we believe in Jesus' finished work on the cross and his death and burial and resurrection, we get that Holy Spirit. Oh, praise you, Jesus. We'll praise him for eternity for all his gifts. Oh, let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 4, verse 42. For we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's all of us, lost without Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Stu, go to Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. I love that. I love that he said passed over. That reminds me of the Passover. So amazing. All of our sins, past, present, and future, all of them forgiven, all of them washed white as snow by the blood of the Lamb when you put your faith in that blood and in Jesus' finished work. You know, some people can't forgive themselves of certain sins, and they just, I just always tell them, like, look, Jesus isn't going back up on the cross. You're going to have to believe the word of God that all your sins were taken care of on that cross, even the ones you can't forgive yourself of. You know, and when Jesus comes back, he's coming back in power. I can't wait. All right. Let's get into what's going on. There's so much to talk about. I don't know how much I can cover, but here we go. This is from Israel Today. Israel is under heavy pressure to postpone or even cancel the military operation in Rafah to facilitate renewed hostage ceasefire negotiations being brokered by Egypt. There's so much talk once again, about a deal, a hostage release deal. An Egyptian delegation has been in Israel for days, and Cairo has reportedly compelled Hamas to move closer to Israel's positions. He also said talk now is of a 33 released hostages in return for a three-month ceasefire with an additional day added for every additional hostage released. The main sticking point remains whether or not the ceasefire will be permanent. Hamas insists such a deal must mark the end of the war. Israel insists it is only temporary and the war ends when Hamas is defeated. Very interesting days, man. Telling you, we're going to see things the next few months. If we're still here, if we're here for a while, we are going to see crazy stuff. You've got to put on the full armor of God, and you've got to be leaning into Jesus, because we're going to see some stuff before this rapture, possibly. You know, this is also from Israel Today. A growing number of Israeli officials are in favor of a hostage deal now, believing Israel can renew the war on Hamas when it chooses in the near future. Wrong. But anyway, Netanyahu is opposed. His coalition will splinter if a deal is made with the devil, with right-wing nationalist parties bolting the government. But Bibi also understands Western governments and media better than most Israelis. The belief by many officials that Israel will be able to simply renew the war after 3 months of ceasefire is naive. Yes. It is highly unlikely the Biden administration will support such a move, especially in a presidential election year. Netanyahu knows that it's now or never. Absolutely. The whole world is against Israel right now. Do you think if they literally did a 3 month ceasefire, that all of a sudden, and then they said, all right, we're going back to it, the world will go crazy? You know, I'm hoping we hear them saying peace and safety, and I'm hoping it's the peace and safety that leads to the rapture and sudden destruction. And it could be, man, we're close. We've seen everything set up. We're just waiting. This is from the Times of Israel. Blinken says he hopes Hamas takes extraordinarily generous truce offer hostage deal and makes the right decision. He said, Hamas has before it a proposal that is, he says it twice, extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel. Always is. Blinken says in Riyadh at the World Economic Forum, they have to decide, and they have to decide quickly. Blinken says, I'm hopeful that they will make the right decision. I wouldn't really bank on it. You know, I wouldn't really bank on it, because even though Israel is overwhelmingly defeating Hamas, Hamas is winning the PR war. You know, they got all the countries are against Israel. So many people are against Israel. Hamas looks like they're in control. So they're negotiating like they're winning, you know. Israel official says to I-24 News, we're expecting a response from Sinwar within 48 hours. The Israeli delegation is expecting Hamas Gaza chief Sinwar to give a response to its latest offer regarding the hostage ceasefire deal within the next 48 hours. And this was yesterday. An Israeli source told I-24 News, Israel has shown a willingness to make very large concessions regarding the return of Gazans to the northern Gaza Strip, said the source. In case of another negative answer from Hamas, Israel is expected to choose a phased and controlled action in order to deal with the remaining Hamas battalions in Rafah, stressed the source. The intense war in Gaza is nearing its end. Israel is raising its eyes now to the northern front. Interesting times. Another one from the Jerusalem Post. Israel warns Hamas, accept the hostage deal or we'll enter Rafah. Israel warned Hamas it will carry out a major military operation unless the terrorist group accepts the deal on the table for the release of some, but not all, of the remaining 133 hostages. We know there's not that many alive. Everyone knows it's well under 100. But here it continues. If there is a deal, we will suspend the operation. Israel's foreign minister, Katz, told Channel 12, as the IDF continued its preparations for the operation, and Egypt renewed its push to secure a hostage deal after weeks in which it seemed that such efforts had hit a dead end. I love this Telegram post from Amir Sarfati. It's just one of those. I looked at it and I said, 100%. More than I worry about Israel, I worry about the gullible people who are rising up against Israel. They have no idea who they are messing around with. His name is the God of Israel. Israel may suffer, but will survive. Its enemies will not. Whew. Amen. Amen. He also said the Biden administration is pushing for two things. One, that ousting of Netanyahu by pushing for a limited hostage deal to stop the war now. And number two, pushing for a Palestinian state in return for normalization with Saudi Arabia. Wow. Did you ever think you'd see the day See, I knew it through Bible prophecy. You know that Israel was going to be in the news at some point every day. You know, because the whole covenant that happens after we're raptured is about Israel. You know, most of it's about Israel. It's going to allow them to build a third temple. A lot of people call it a peace covenant, although the word peace isn't anywhere whenever it talks about it. It just says a seven-year covenant. But we kind of, I think we assume it's probably going to be a peace deal you know, the ability to build the third temple. But man, we're watching this stuff just right in front of our eyes in real time. It's so amazing. None of this worries me. I know that we are soon to be face to face with Jesus if you belong to him. This is a report. Several EU countries are set to recognize a Palestinian state in May. This is a mistake. You don't reward terrorism with statehood. That's from Israel News. Yeah, that's insane. But you know what? May is going to be... We're in for some crazy times. Unless we're out of here earlier than before this stuff happens. But the longer the Lord tarries, we're going to see some crazy stuff. This is breaking the internet. This was all over the internet. I can't fully verify this. Disclaimer. The International Criminal Court will issue arrest warrants for Netanyahu and other Israeli officials this week, they're saying. That's in The Hague in the Netherlands. The ICC, the International Criminal Court, and they're saying it's going to be this week. Will it? I don't know. How do you enforce that? Really? How do you enforce that? But it looks good on paper, and it will turn more countries and more people against Israel, as prophesied. Israel will become a cup of trembling to all nations. And we've seen it happen. From the times of Israel, Hezbollah deputy chief says full-scale war will end Israeli presence in the north once and for all. The Hezbollah's deputy secretary general, Qassam, he warns that full-scale war will not bring residents of northern Israel home, but will rather end their presence there once and for all. Gallant threatens us that if we don't stop the attacks, he will attack Lebanon and return the residents of the north to their homes, he says in a statement. But I say to Gallant that this war will not only cause the Zionists to not return to their homes, but it is likely to end their presence in the northern occupied territories once and for all. Saber rattling. You know, we hear this all the time. And this was an interesting one from Israel today, in the middle of the night last night. So probably, you know, 10 o'clock a.m. Israel time today. But it said Hezbollah fired 30 missiles at northern Israel this morning. No reports of injuries. But then a half hour later, he said, correction, listen to this. Hamas forces in Lebanon took credit for this morning's rocket barrage. So who knows? It could have been Hezbollah that fired them and said to Hamas, you can take credit for this because we know you're not in a great position right now to be firing anything. You know, who knows? What else? From Insider Paper, this says, U.S. says diplomacy has stopped the spread of Israel-Hamas war. Okay. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said Monday, diplomacy has halted regional escalation, or we call it arm twisting too, since the start of the Israeli-Hamas war, including after unprecedented open clashes between Iran and Israel earlier this month. This is the quote from Blinken. We did come very close to an escalation or spread of the conflict, and I think because of very focused, very determined efforts, we've been able to avoid it, Blinken told a World Economic Forum meeting in Riyadh. I'm just going to be honest. I don't think you're doing a great job. I'll just say that, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Here's another one. Here's a story that I can't verify. It was all over social media, and I only found it on one news website. And it's the Asia Times. So take this for what it's worth. I can't verify it. I just want to put that out there just in case. But it says NATO starts deploying troops as Russia races to win. And it says NATO is starting to deploy combat troops to Ukraine. Soldiers from Poland, France, the UK, Finland, and other NATO members are arriving in large numbers. This was all over social media. That's why I was digging for a better source than just, you know, Telegram or X. Although Russia says there are over 3,100 mercenaries in Ukraine, these newly arriving troops are not mercenaries. They are in uniform, home country proclaimed via insignia. They mostly are concentrated in the western part of the country, although in some cases they are close to actual fighting in the east. We'll see where that goes. I'm not 100% on board with that, but I wanted to, because it's going all over social media, I wanted to find at least one news website that had it, but you know, I don't know about the Asia Times. There. Next, Ukraine Army commander says the situation has worsened. I always say this every time I talk about Russia, Ukraine, pray for the people there. There's so many brothers and sisters there in Christ. This says the commander-in-chief of Ukraine's armed forces said Sunday Kiev's position on the front line had deteriorated and that Russia has made a number of recent battlefield gains. Russian troops have gone back on the offensive this year, capitalizing on an advantage in manpower and arms to press forward, particularly in the eastern Donetsk region. The situation at the front has worsened. I hate war, man. I just can't wait to be face to face with Jesus and out of here, out of this war-torn, rumors of war-torn world. I'm just so tired of it. And I know you are too. I know most of you are. These tornadoes, we talked about them on Saturday. They were horrific on Friday in Nebraska and Iowa. And then they hit Oklahoma and other states. At least four dead after Oklahoma tornadoes caused catastrophic damage. At least four people were killed. Several others were injured on Saturday when devastating tornadoes tore through several Oklahoma cities during a severe weather outbreak that caused catastrophic damage to numerous homes and buildings and knocked out power to tens of thousands. Oh, it's so tragic to see those videos. They said that on Friday, there were 83 reports of tornadoes across five states. On Friday, 83 reports of tornadoes. Another one from Insider Paper, dozens of tornadoes plowed the central U.S., at least five killed. Just pray for those people. Also, dozens killed as dam burst and flood hit Kenya. This happened over the weekend. At least 45 people died when a dam burst its banks near a town in Kenya's Rift Valley. Police said on Monday as torrential rains and floods battered the country. The disaster raises the total death toll over the March through May wet season in Kenya to more than 120 people as heavier than usual rainfall pounds East Africa. Also, a volcano erupts in eastern Indonesia and it spewed miles high ash. Yeah, I saw some video of that. Volcano in eastern Indonesia erupted on Sunday morning, spewing an ash tower more than 2 miles into the sky and prompting officials to warn people to keep away. It's crazy, crazy. Earthquakes the last 48 hours, 93 earthquakes over 4.0. 5, which is low for 2 days, 5 over 5.0 and 1 over 6.0. All right, now we move on to a little bit of clown world. Lethal AI weapons are on the rise. What's next? Lethal autonomous weapons might reduce civilian casualties or make catastrophic mistakes. Sounds like something we want to play with, doesn't it? In the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, video footage has shown drones penetrating deep into Russian territory, more than 1,000 kilometers from the border and destroying oil and gas infrastructure. It's likely experts say that artificial intelligence is helping to direct the drones to their targets. For such weapons, no person needs to hold the trigger or make the final decision to detonate. How beautiful. Some observers fear a future in which swarms of cheap AI drones could be dispatched by any faction to take out a specific person using facial recognition. That's clown world. We're living in clown world. We're just waiting for Jesus to get us. This is from Digital Trends. I spent 4 days with the AI gadget of the future, and it was a mess. That made me laugh. The Rabbit R1 is not a smartphone, and it's not attempting to replace your smartphone, despite the original press release suggesting that it would. Instead, the best way to think about the Rabbit R1 is as a companion device to your phone. No, thanks. I'll just have water. Thank you. When I first got the Rabbit R1 and asked it about the weather, it correctly told me the weather for my city in Michigan. Later that afternoon, it showed me the forecast for Edmonds, Washington. It eventually sorted itself out and remembered that I lived in Michigan until the next day when it gave me the forecast for Houston. The worst part, there's no way to manually set your location on the R1. You hope it has GPS. And you hope the GPS is working, and it often is not. That just sounds like just... what a future they got for us. Give me one of these gadgets. I want to know the weather in Timbuktu. Who needs to know the weather here? Clown world. All right. Let's do a couple testimonies of the day. Maybe a comment of the day or two or three. Here we go. Kelly. I became immersed in the New Age movement. I started meditation. I found myself connected to evil spirits. I cried out to God, "Are you real? I'm looking for truth. I just wanted to know the truth." I heard, "If evil spirits are real, then so is the Holy Spirit." I began reading the Bible. When I got to John 14:6, I fell to my knees. He had heard and answered me. Praise God, Kelly. Thank you for sharing that. Sandra. I knew of the Lord most of my life. I attended a vacation Bible school when I was a teenager, and I felt judged and never went back. When my children were little, I started taking them to a children's program called Kids Night. There was games and a little message, a nugget they called it. The leader of it was the new pastor in my town. As we became closer and became friends, and our children became friends, he asked if I would help if he started a Bible camp. And of course I agreed, as I never got to go to camp, and I'd love for my children to be able to go. I was filled with and touched by and overwhelmed by the Lord at that first camp. And there I gave myself to the Lord. That was 18 years ago, and I have been fully involved with that camp every year since. And God knew exactly what it would take to reach me. Thank you, Lord. Sounds like the Lord mapped out the whole thing little by little, bit by bit, and here you are. Praise God. Thank you. So a couple of comments of the day. DJ, I am 74 years old, born and raised in Ohio, and I don't recognize my beloved country anymore. It's infested with an evil cancer. You're right. I always say there was a demonic spirit that fell on this country a few years ago. But yet, you know what? There's a lot of people getting saved, because the darker it gets in our country and in the world, the brighter that gospel message gets, right? All of a sudden, it's like when you can really start seeing, like, man, it's dark around here. You just look at Jesus like, wow. Gloria, I told my son the other day that I was so looking forward to heaven. It was like when you have saved up for a vacation and you watch the time get nearer and nearer, and it's almost time to load the car with your luggage. Maranatha. And the beautiful thing, Gloria, is you don't have to load the car with nothing with this trip. We're going to have our arms up in the air, you know, or maybe not. Maybe we'll just blink and be there. I don't know. I really don't know. But I know one thing. Once we're there, nothing would get you to come back. April, I went to Walmart this morning, and as usual, I would find a way to bring up Jesus to people. One older couple was complaining about the high prices, so I said it's not going to get any better. But the good news is Jesus is coming so, so soon. And he said, "Yep, we see all the signs he told us to look for. 'Tis the season." That's, praise God. That's awesome. You bumped into some believers there, it sounds like. Enrique, good morning, Tom and Watchin' River family. I hope everyone is doing well. Those Bible verses are so encouraging, Tom. This world is bracing for the 7-year tribulation. But God gave us his son, Jesus Christ, to shed his blood on the cross for our sins. We are getting so close. God bless you and your families. Thank you. God bless you. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, we're close. We're getting very, very close to the pre-tribulation rapture. And I know that, you know, some don't believe that, and that's okay. You know, read the Bible. It's in there from Genesis to Revelation. But what we're looking at, when you look at the 7-year tribulation, it's terrorizing. And some people try to say the first 3.5 years are good. you know, because they're not as catastrophic as the second 3.5, they're not very good. Many, many, many people die. It takes a day's wages to make a loaf of bread. This is the first 3.5 years when they say it's great. You don't have to be here for those 7 years. Because if you believe that Jesus came to this earth, he left heaven and came here and shed blood to pay for our sins. If you have faith in his blood, that it will wash all of your sins away. And you believe in Jesus' finished work of dying on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. Once you believe that, you're saved. You're born again. God will put his Holy Spirit in you. You'll be rapture ready. You'll be a new creation in Christ. Many people think when they come to Christ, oh man, they're going to put me in chains. Like I'm going to be so restricted. No, no. Right now, if you reject Christ right now, you're in chains right now. And you're headed toward eternal separation from God. Because there's two choices. You believe in Jesus' finished work on the cross and in his powerful blood to wash your sins away. Or by default, you're assigned to the dark side, which leads to eternal separation from God, aka hell. And those are the two choices. I wish I could tell you there was a third option, like an opt-out button, but there isn't. You know, it's one or the other. And I am trying to almost beg you. I'd beg you. I would beg you if you were face-to-face with me. I would beg you, like, don't reject the payment Jesus made for your sins. Because Jesus is the one who in John chapter 1, it talks about the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And it talks about everything that was created by Jesus. The power of his spoken word created everything. And that same Jesus is the one who came here to fix the sin problem. And the only way that could be done is by the shedding of his own blood. It's hard to comprehend that, honestly. It's hard to comprehend it. That Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father for eternity past, leaves a throne in heaven to come here. Oh, I'm going there to shed my blood, to die for them. That's how much I love them. Can you imagine that kind of love? When you are the all-powerful Jesus, can you imagine? But that's what he did. And he willingly did it. And he went to the cross and he shed that blood. He paid for all your sins with his blood. And then he died. His last words before he died were, "It is finished," because he himself had paid the sin debt in full with his blood. Why would he do that? Because he loves you. He wants to spend eternity with you. He's trying to give you an unearned gift because we're saved by grace, which is an unearned gift through believing in what Jesus did. And Jesus is trying to say, like, here, I paid for your sins with my blood. Can have eternal life. You can spend eternity with me. I have such incredible plans. God wants to lavish us with his love, lavish us with his goodness for eternity. I can't say no to that. I'm the first one in line, raising my hand. Me. But some, many more will say, no, I don't need that. Because wide is the path to destruction. So sad, isn't it? Many people will hear this and just say, it's not for me, really. You know what? Overall, Tom, I'm more good than bad, and I'm going to just trust in that. That more good than bad is going to lead you to eternal separation from God, because you don't get thrown into hell because of your good. It's because of the bad. It's the sin. We're all sinners. It's the sin that gets you eternally separated from God. It needs to be paid for, and he paid for it. And that's why nobody will say, you're unfair. When they're being led off to hell. Because they're going to kneel. If you take this message and just say, I don't want this, it's not for me. You will kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus. You will be in his presence. You will be like, this is the God of the universe. You will know. Can you imagine being that close to the God of the universe? And you will know. And then you will think, uh-oh, I didn't take the payment for my sins. I said, no, I don't want that. I don't believe in that. I'm more good than bad. I'll take my chances with that. And Jesus is going to look at you in the eye and say, away from me. I never knew you. And then you'll be led off to eternal separation from God. And hell, Satan has twisted it. And he gets people to say, oh, it's a party. It's better than heaven. It's kind of a, it's a rough around the edges place. We play pool. There's a, you know, a swimming pool. There's girls in bikinis. We're listening to Zeppelin and Sabbath. You know, they try to twist it. And like, it's the only place we know about hell is from the Word of God. And the way it describes it is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's very hot and it never ends. So no, it's not a party. That's a lie. Don't believe that lie. But your face, when you hear all this, you're faced with an incredibly important decision, the most important decision of your life by far. Are you going to say yes to the God? Say, I believe, I have faith in your blood that it will remove every sin from me forever. And I believe in your finished work. And I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. Or are you going to say, nah, I'll just take my chances? Choose wisely, because time is short. I come down here because time is short. Every day I come down here pleading with people who don't know the Lord, who are on the fence, saying, like, it's time to make a choice. You know, at least you got this far in the video if you're watching it, if you don't believe in Christ. At least you got this far, because when the rapture happens, you will at least say, oh my goodness, they were right. And then you will wonder, what do I do now? You hit your knees. You're going to be, you know, it's not going to, many, many, many people will turn to Christ right after the rapture. It'll be the biggest revival in the history of mankind. But you'll have to be beheaded for your faith at that point. You know, the Antichrist can be chasing you around. So choose wisely. Choose now. Be part of the family of God. We all love each other. I'm going to shut the camera off now, and I'm going to pray for every person who watched this video. And if we're not raptured today, and guys, I think today is a perfectly good day for the rapture. But if not, God willing, I will see you guys tomorrow. I love you guys.